A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your VPS SSD dies at 3 in the morning. 15 micro-automations, YouTube backup scripts, RSS monitors, health checks, all gone. You have no dashboard, no export, no record of what was even running. How do you know what broke, let alone how to rebuild it?
That's the exact scenario Daniel's wrestling with. He's got a backup procedure for YouTube channels he wants to run. Watch for new videos, download with ITDL, upload to cloud, push to NAS, notify on failure. Simple enough. But he can easily imagine 10 or 20 of these little tasks, and the SSD failure he just lived through has him thinking about visibility and recoverability.
Right. And he's asking two things. First, a terminology question that sounds pedantic but actually drives tool choice. Are these things workflows, automations, or workers? And second, what self-hostable platforms give him a dashboard to see what's running, what failed, and a backup service so he can rebuild from a config file instead of from memory?
Let's start by unpacking the scenario because it perfectly illustrates the problem. Daniel's not running a NAS in his new apartment yet, so his usual backup chain is broken. Normally, he'd finish a video, drop it on the NAS volume, and that auto-syncs to the cloud. Without that, he wants a backup procedure that doesn't depend on his own infrastructure being up. The trigger is a new video appearing on a channel. The actions are download, upload to cloud, send to NAS. The fallback is a notification if something fails. Nothing complicated.
And he's right that tools like Cloud Code can write the actual script in under a minute. The question isn't, can he build it? It's how does he manage 10 or 20 of these things and know they're healthy without SSHing into the box every morning?
Which is where the terminology actually matters, because the label you use shapes which tool you reach for. Before we can talk about platforms, we need to get our terminology straight. The wrong label leads to the wrong tool.
Alright, walking encyclopedia, workflow, automation, worker. Break them apart.
Workflow is the most specific of the three. It implies a directed acyclic graph, a DAG of steps with defined branching and error handling. Think temporal.io or AWS, step functions. A workflow is designed for durable, stateful, long-running processes. It might have retry policies, compensation logic for rollbacks, timeouts at each step. The defining characteristic is that the process itself has structure. Step A must complete before step B, and if step C fails, you branch to step D.
So a workflow is a map. The path matters as much as the destination.
Automation is the umbrella term. It's anything that runs without human intervention. A cron job that rotates logs is an automation. A script that watches a folder and renames new files is an automation. It's the broadest category. All workflows are automations, but not all automations are workflows.
And worker?
Worker is an execution model. A worker is a process that listens for tasks and executes them, typically in a queue-based architecture. You have a dispatcher that hands out jobs and workers that pick them up and run them. The key insight is that each worker is an independent execution unit. It doesn't need to know about other workers, it just takes a task, does the work, reports back.
So for Daniel's use case, small, periodic, trigger-based scripts, which term is actually accurate?
Worker is the most accurate, and here's why. Each of his micro-tasks is an independent execution unit. The YouTube backup script doesn't need to coordinate with the RSS monitor. They don't share state. They're triggered by different conditions and run to completion independently. That's a worker model. Calling it a workflow implies a DAG structure that doesn't exist. Calling it an automation is technically correct, but so broad it's useless for tool selection.
And this distinction actually matters when you're evaluating platforms. N18 calls everything a workflow, but its execution model is a single-threaded node graph. Fine for linear sequences, but it starts to creak when you have complex branching or need independent parallel execution.
Right. Temporal.io calls its execution units workflows, capital. W, but temporal, is built for microservices orchestration. It gives you durable execution with automatic retry, saga patterns for distributed transactions, the whole enterprise toolkit. Deploying Temporal for a 30-second ITD help script is like using a freight train to deliver a postcard. The Temporal web UI is genuinely impressive. It shows workflow executions, full event history, stack traces, failure reasons. But the overhead is absurd for Daniel's scale.
Huggin takes a completely different approach. It calls its execution units, agents, and they're event-driven with a publish-subscribe model. An agent watches for something, emits events, and other agents consume those events. The built-in web UI shows agent status, last runtime, logs, failure counts. That's much closer to what Daniel wants.
Huggin is a strong fit for the visibility requirement. Each agent has its own database table, so you can see exactly what it's done. The dashboard answers the core questions. What's running? When did it last run? Did it fail? And crucially, Huggin supports scenario export as JSON. You can back up your entire agent configuration as a single file.
But there's a catch. Huggin agents are configured through the web UI, not as standalone code scripts. You're writing Ruby in text fields, essentially. If Daniel's goal is code-defined workers that he can version control and generate with called code, Huggin's model is a mismatch. He'd be adapting his approach to fit the platform rather than the platform serving his approach.
That's the tension. And this is where the AI agent inflection point really changes the calculus. Let me make this concrete. Here's the kind of prompt you can give Claude Code right now. Quote, write a Python script that checks a YouTube channel for new videos every hour, downloads any it hasn't seen, uploads to Backblaze B2, and posts a failure notification to a Discord webhook. Use a local JSON file to track seen video IDs.
What comes back?
In under 60 seconds, you get a complete script. It has a main function with a check loop. It reads and writes the JSON tracking file. It calls ITDelp with the right flags. It uses the B2 SDK for uploads. It sends Discord webhooks on failure. And it has proper error handling and logging throughout. 60 seconds. That's the cost of a custom worker now.
Which shifts the whole conversation. If writing code is essentially free, the bottleneck isn't code generation anymore. It's infrastructure management and observability.
Yes. The bottleneck shifts to two things. One, keeping the VPS running, secrets rotation, disk usage monitoring, package updates, and two, knowing which workers are healthy without SSHing in. Daniel's SSD failure is the canary in the coal mine. A dashboard with a heartbeat check and a last successful run timestamp isn't a nice to have. It's the difference between a 5-minute recovery and a 5-hour detective session.
And the backup surface. If the VPS itself dies, you need to reconstruct the worker fleet from a config file, not from memory. That's the other half of Daniel's question, the export requirement.
Let's talk about what that actually looks like across platforms. N8Neen exports workflows as JSON arrays of nodes with connections. Each node has a type, position, and parameters. You can export the whole thing, store it in Git, and re-import it on a fresh instance. Huggin exports scenarios as JSON objects with agent types, options, and schedules. A custom solution could export a YAML file with worker name, cron schedule, script path, and environment variables.
The format matters less than the recoverability. Can you take that export, spin up a fresh VPS, and be back to a working fleet in under 10 minutes?
That's the test. And most people never run it until they need it, which is when they discover the export is missing a critical piece. Environment variables, or the scheduler configuration, or the fact that the export format changed between versions.
So we know what we're building. Workers, not workflows. Now let's look at what platforms actually exist to manage them.
Let me walk through the four real options. Option 1, Huggin. It's self-hosted, Ruby-based, and it's been around for years. The architecture is event-driven. Agents emit events, other agents consume them. You'd set up a website agent that pulls a YouTube channel's RSS feed, a data output agent that formats the new video information, and a shell command agent that runs the ITDelp script. The dashboard shows each agent's last runtime, how many events it created, and any errors.
And the export?
Huggin has a scenario export feature. You select the agents you want to export, and it gives you a JSON file. That JSON includes agent types, options, schedules, and the connections between agents. You can import it on a fresh Huggin instance, and everything comes back.
But again, You're configuring agents through a web UI, not writing standalone scripts. If Daniel wants the flexibility of code-defined workers, Huggin forces him into its DSL.
There's a hybrid approach that works around this. Huggin has a REST API and a shell command agent. You write the actual worker logic as standalone Python scripts, generated by Claude Code version, controlled in Git, fully flexible. Huggin's shell command agent calls those scripts on a schedule or on a trigger. Huggin becomes the dashboard and scheduling layer, not the execution engine. You get the visual dashboard and the export surface without being locked into Huggin's agent model.
That's clever. Huggin is the management plane, not the runtime. What's option two?
It's a production-grade orchestration engine, self-hostable, with a web UI called Temporal Web. You write workflows in Python, Go, TypeScript, or Java. The UI shows workflow executions, full event history, stack traces for failures, and you can drill down into individual activity attempts. It's impressive for debugging complex failures.
But
it's designed for microservices orchestration. Temporal workflows expect to be long-running, potentially hours or days. They have retry policies, heartbeats for long activities, and the ability to replay execution history for debugging. For Daniel's 20 cron-style scripts, Temporal is wildly over-engineered. The operational overhead alone, running the Temporal server, managing the persistence layer, dealing with the worker processes, is significant.
And the export surface.
Temporal workflows are defined in code, so your backup is your Git repository. The workflow definitions live in your source code. But the scheduling configuration, when workflows run, what triggers them, that's separate. You need to back up your schedule configuration separately. It's not a single export file.
Option 3 is NATN.
NATN is a self-hosted visual workflow builder. The dashboard shows active workflows, execution history, and logs. Workflows are built by dragging nodes onto a canvas and connecting them. It supports hundreds of integrations out of the box, and it has a code node that lets you write arbitrary JavaScript.
You've been running Aiton for about 18 months, right?
I have, and I'd say it's the closest self-hosted Zapier replacement. The visual clarity is useful for understanding what a workflow does at a glance. The execution history shows exactly which nodes ran, what data passed between them, and where failures occurred.
But Daniel's complaint is that visual platforms sacrifice flexibility.
And that complaint is real, but let me be precise about where the flexibility loss actually bites. N8N's node-based model is fine for linear sequences and moderate branching. Where it gets painful is complex error handling across multiple branches, integration with obscure APIs that don't have pre-built nodes, and anything that requires shared state across workflow executions. The code node can do arbitrary JavaScript, but you're writing code in a text field in a web UI, no version control, no testing framework, no IDE support. It's code, but it's second-class code.
And the export.
N8N exports workflows as JSON. Each workflow is an array of node objects with type, position, parameters, and connections. You can export individual workflows or the whole collection. The JSON is readable enough to version control, and you can re-import it on a fresh instance. It's a solid export surface.
Option 4 is the custom route. Build your own dashboard.
And this is where the AI agent shift really changes things. A custom solution could be a simple Flask or Fast API dashboard that reads from a shared SQLite database. Each worker script logs its status, last runtime, success or failure, any error messages, to that database. The scheduler could be something like APS scheduler running in the same process. You add an export endpoint that dumps all worker configurations as a YAML file, worker name, cron schedule, script path, environment variable names.
And Claude Code can generate the entire thing from a prompt.
It can. Describe the dashboard requirements, what fields to show, the export format, the scheduler behavior, and you get a working application. The advantage is maximum flexibility. Every worker is a standalone script. The dashboard is exactly what you need and nothing else. The export format is whatever you want it to be.
The disadvantage is you're now maintaining custom infrastructure.
Yes. The dashboard itself becomes another thing to monitor, update, and back up. If it goes down, you lose visibility into everything. With Huggin or 8in, you're running a maintained open source project with a community and documentation. With a custom dashboard, you're on your own.
Let me pull together what I think is the most practical path forward for someone in Daniel's exact situation.
Go ahead.
Start with the hybrid Hugin approach. Use Hugin as the dashboard and scheduling layer, but write the actual worker logic as standalone Python scripts that Hugin calls via the shell command agent. This gives you the visual dashboard, the export surface, and the scheduling infrastructure without locking your business logic into Hugin's agent model.
And the backup strategy?
Set up a daily cron job that calls Hugin Scenario Export API and pushes the resulting JSON to Backblaze B2 or S3. That's your disaster recovery artifact. If the VPS dies, you spin up a new one, install Hugin, import the scenario JSON, and you're back to a working dashboard. Then restore your worker scripts from Git.
That's a solid recommendation. But I want to push on one thing. If Hugin feels too opinionated, if the agent model feels like a constraint rather than a tool, the custom Flask dashboard approach is surprisingly achievable now. Cloud Code can generate the whole thing. The prompt would be something like, build a fast API app with a SQLite backend that shows a table of workers with name, last runtime, status, and a log viewer, plus an export endpoint that dumps everything as YAML.
That's a weekend project now, not a month-long build.
And the AI agent shift is what makes it viable. The code generation cost has collapsed. What hasn't collapsed is the design cost. Knowing what to build, understanding the trade-offs, thinking through the failure modes. That's still human work.
Which brings us back to the terminology. The reason this matters for tool choice is that calling something a workflow when it's actually a worker leads you to workflow orchestration tools. Temporal, Prefect, Dagster, that is solving a fundamentally different problem. You'll spend more time managing the orchestrator than running your actual tasks.
The precision is, use Worker for independent trigger-based scripts, Workflow for multi-step processes with branching and state management, and automation as the umbrella term. Daniel's YouTube backup is a Worker. A multi-step ETL pipeline with conditional branching and rollback logic is a Workflow. Both are automations.
And if you walk into a tool evaluation with that clarity, you'll know immediately that Temporal is wrong for 20 cron-style workers, no matter how nice its dashboard is.
Let me address something I think gets lost in these discussions. The visual platform versus code debate often frames it as a flexibility question. Code is more flexible, visual is more constrained. That's true, but incomplete. The real difference is the ceiling. Visual platforms have a lower floor. You can build something in ANN in 10 minutes that would take an hour of coding. But they also have a lower ceiling. Eventually, you hit something. The visual paradigm can't express cleanly, and you're fighting the tool.
Code has a higher floor and a higher ceiling.
Right. The AI agent shift lowers the floor for code dramatically. That 60-second Claude code prompt I described, that used to be an hour of writing boilerplate, looking up API docs, handling edge cases. Now it's 60 seconds. The floor has dropped so far that the visual platform's floor advantage is shrinking.
But the ceiling is still higher for code, and the AI agents don't solve the management layer. They write the worker. They don't monitor it, alert on it, or back up its configuration.
That's the knock-on effect. If writing code is free, the bottleneck shifts to observability and infrastructure management. Daniel's SSD failure story is the canary. The dashboard with a heartbeat check and a last successful run timestamp isn't a nice to have. It's the difference between a 5-minute recovery and a 5-hour detective session.
And the backup surface is non-negotiable. Whatever platform you choose, verify that you can export the entire configuration as a single file and restore it on a fresh VPS in under 10 minutes. Actually test this. Destroy the VPS and rebuild it. Most people discover the gaps in their backup strategy during the disaster, not before it.
The export formats are worth comparing directly. N8N exports a workflow as a JSON array of nodes with connections. Each node has a type, position, and parameters. Hugin exports a scenario as a JSON object with agent types, options, and schedules, plus the connections between agents. A custom solution could export a YAML file with worker name, cron schedule, script path, and environment variables. The format matters less than whether the export actually contains everything needed to rebuild.
One thing I've learned from running A10 is that the export is only as good as your discipline about using it. It's easy to tweak a workflow in the UI and forget to export the updated version. Then your backup is stale, and you don't know it until you need it.
That's where the daily cron job pushing the export to object storage becomes essential. Automate the backup of your automation platform. It turtles all the way down.
There's a larger trend here that Daniel's 20-worker fleet is a microcosm of. Personal infrastructure is becoming more complex. 10 years ago, a home server ran Plex and maybe a file share. Now people are running 15 microservices, each with its own dependencies, schedules, and failure pattern. The tools for managing that complexity are still catching up.
And the next frontier might be AI agents that don't just write the workers but also monitor them and self-heal when they fail. Imagine a system where each worker reports its status to a central agent, and that agent can detect failures, check logs, and attempt remediation. Restart the worker, roll back a configuration change, escalate to a human if it can't fix the problem.
That's not science fiction. The pieces exist. The integration doesn't.
Not yet. But the trajectory is clear. The AI coding agents are getting better at generating code. The next step is agents that understand the operational context. What's running? What's failing? What changed? That's a harder problem because it requires understanding state over time, not just generating a static artifact.
For now, the practical recommendation stands. Hybrid Huygen for the dashboard and scheduling, standalone Python scripts for the workers, daily export to object storage, and test your disaster recovery.
And if Huygen's agent model feels like a straitjacket, the custom Flask dashboard approach is viable and getting easier. The key is to make the choice consciously, understand what you're trading off with each option.
The terminology precision is the thing I want listeners to take away. Use Worker for independent trigger-based scripts, Workflow for multi-step processes with branching, Automation as the umbrella term. That clarity alone will save you from evaluating tools that are solving the wrong problem.
And the backup surface is non-negotiable. Whatever you choose, verify the export works by actually rebuilding from it. Daniel's SSD failure is a gift in that sense. It's a reminder that infrastructure is ephemeral, and your configuration is the only thing that survives.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether visual workflow builders have a long-term future. As AI agents get better at generating and maintaining code, does the drag-and-drop paradigm become obsolete? Or is there always a place for visual tools for people who don't want to think about code at all?
I think visual tools persist, but their role shifts. They become the prototyping layer. Sketch out the logic visually, then generate the code implementation from the visual model. The visual representation becomes a design tool, not the runtime. N8NIN is already moving in this direction with their AI features.
So, the visual and the code defined converge, rather than one replacing the other.
That's my bet. The visual layer is for understanding and communication. The code layer is for execution and flexibility. The best tools will span both.
If you're building your own worker fleet, we'd love to hear about your setup. What dashboard are you using? What's your backup strategy? What did you learn the hard way? Send it in, and we might feature it in a future episode.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the lights on.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.